Okay, children, we're done with the alphabet. Next subject, financial well-being. How to manage your money. Turn to page 5 of your textbook.
When it comes to money, you can never start learning too early. That's why starting today, State Farm wants to give you the tools and support you need to take control of your finances.
Tonight, read the chapters on credit cards and balance transfers. Pop quiz tomorrow.
Find out more at letstarttoday.com. State Farm, here to help life go right.
With Instant Pay. With Uber, Daniel can call the shots. He can make extra cash on Saturdays when he's free, saving up for something.
Mully and Hanley talk Bulls mornings live at 5 on 670 The Score.
From Norm Van Leer to Jerry Sloan, I grew up with the Bulls. And now how about this? The Score is home to the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls have always been in my life, from the madhouse on Madison Street to today's rebuild. It's been a great journey, and it's going to be even more so right here on The Score.
Talk Bulls with Mully and Hanley mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's home for Bulls basketball.
You're listening to Chicago's original sports talk station. Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. WSCR in HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago.
This hour is brought to you by Euro Partners. Visit europartners.com. Europartners.com.
What do you hear? What do you say?
The Bernstein and Golf Show.
Joe Girardi has joined MLB Network as a studio analyst.
You know, I think the important thing about the 162-game schedule is you can't get too excited over a week, and you can't get too down over a week, and you have to remain constant for your players because they're getting it all the time. You know, they're getting asked every game about their performance, or, you know, you didn't make this pitch. Why didn't you make this pitch? And that's why I think the personality of the manager is to be consistent. And I saw that a lot from my managers coming up in the game, and they were masterful at it. You know, anything that's come my way, I've always evaluated, and I've been fortunate to be able to manage 11 years, and I want to manage more.
All right, so when Eloy Jimenez is hitting 30 bombs in about 3 years, it'll be attractive on the south side, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I know they traded for some really good young players, and I'm sure they're excited over there, and they'll continue to improve.
Bernstein and Goff on 670 The Score.
Ryan Phillip, indulge my crazy theory here. I understand this would be bizarre beyond belief, but I don't put anything past the Patriots at this point, especially when we consider the possible revenge for the Colts' role as an adverse party in Deflategate. What if the whole thing was a long con? What if the whole thing was like, yeah, Josh, you know that you're going to, you know, eventually get the shot to replace Bill, etc. You know, we love you here. Let's just have you be a candidate for some of these jobs. At the very least, we destabilize some opponents, we learn about them, and we clown them just to entertain ourselves.
Well, you're evidently having Oliver Stone on next.
I'm just trying.
That might be a bit of a stretch.
It's about to go next.
Bernstein and Golf, weekdays 1 to 6 on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're living in a post-NBA trade deadline world, and we're walking you through it, boldly entering into a radically reshaped NBA. The latest deal is Elfrid Payton from Orlando to Phoenix for a second-round pick, as reported by Adrian Wojnarowski, and there's an instant analysis here by Justin Termine of
Termini. Yeah. Guy always fighting with Eddie Johnson right there.
Okay.
On Sirius XM.
Why are you fighting
NBA
with Eddie Johnson?
That's Justin's thing. Justin is just. He's a great dude, but he's just one of the worst people in the world.
Just pugnacious.
Yeah, he loves fighting. Nah, he's all good. He knows his stuff, too.
This is fascinating, because he says that Orlando traded Dario Saric and picks that turned out to be De'Aaron Fox and Willie Hernan Gomez for Elfrid Payton on draft night. And now they get a second-round pick. Think about that. So,
it just didn't work out for them.
So Saric, De'Aaron Fox, and Willie Hernan Gomez have become a second-round pick. That's like tracing what ended up being Cameron Payne. And we can keep doing that now with Doug McDermott having another chapter.
Yeah, Phoenix always liked Elfrid Payton. They liked him through the draft process. They wanted to draft him. Elfrid Payton just never was able to put the ball in the hole. Was a decent defender, you know, a good defender, could get you into your offense, but you always on the penalty kill with him on the floor because he just wasn't a very good offensive player.
One of the worst defensive players in the league too.
Who, Elfrid Payton?
By metrics.
Well, when he came out, he was a good defender. He when that's why he was drafted. Was it Louisiana Monroe, Louisiana Lafayette?
He became horrible at defense.
Yeah, and the hair thing always was an easy target for a lot of people. But yeah, this is one of those weird, you know, okay, this guy goes there, moves. But that's not why you call today. I was thinking about it driving in the craziest NBA trade deadline days. And, you know, whether it be Marbury going to the Nets that year with Jason Kidd getting traded to the Suns. Gary Payton got traded for Ray Allen, the Seattle and Milwaukee deal, if I'm not mistaken. But this is amazing. The fact that Isaiah Thomas probably has what was his best game last night as a Cleveland Cavalier, and you're thinking that they're riding the ship. That was an outstanding NBA basketball game last night, by the way. If you're just checking out box scores and didn't watch the game, you think, oh, nobody played any defense.
Oh, it was fun.
It was shot making going on in that game. If you made one slip up on a defensive coverage, a shot was going up and it was going in.
And what LeBron did to Jimmy near the end, when you're thinking about having to disengage, Jimmy's not a little dude. And LeBron was.
Are you talking about the game on the shot?
That's not a small man.
I mean, throughout the game, throughout the fourth quarter especially, they tried to get that switch going, that 1-3 switch, and it was not happening. I talked to Bobby Portis about this too, about guarding and different coverages for different guys. Like your defensive principles hardly ever stay the same because each night there's a different playmaker at the helm. He's talking about the difference between guarding James Harden on a pick and roll and guarding what the Cavs do. And they do the 1-3 where they're trying to get your point guard on LeBron James because he can do things. And I thought Tom and Jimmy and everybody on that defense did a terrific job. They made him work. And that triple-double that he got last night is nothing to sneeze at. 37, 15, and 10, shooting 72%. There's only one other person who's had that line in an NBA game in NBA history, and that's Wilt Chamberlain. So last night's game, there were so many things and fighting to the end and wanting to see guys guard each other. Jimmy Butler was guarding LeBron in the fourth quarter and vice versa. It was a fun NBA game. And if you think that, a game winner is going to make you feel good about life, all of a sudden Kobe Altman and Dan Gilbert with a martini in his hand presses the button and everybody's going, every players are flying all over the country.
LeBron knew too. I think
he just didn't rock with Isaiah Thomas. I don't think he knew that Dwayne Wade was going.
Maybe not D Wade, but
knew that Rodney Hood was going to be a teammate here soon, pretty much phasing out whatever it is that J.R. Smith does for them.
Adrian Wojnarowski says the Clippers have no trade for DeAndre Jordan. So a guy that was expected to move has not been moved. It also appears that the Bulls have retained Lopez and Jaren Grant and Justin Holiday. So
they were practicing. KC reported that they were at practice with their jerseys on, practice jerseys ready to roll. Usually guys are mysteriously, you know, absent from practice. You can tell something's brewing for them.
Like with
those
Nico.
Guys were, those guys were practicing. So, you know, I think the Bulls will be bad enough. You know, they'll mess around and get enough ping pong balls and get, you know, somewhere in that third to sixth range. Right now, because it seems like Atlanta's locked into a top three pick, and Brooklyn's locked into a top three pick as well.
That's so great. I mean, if you're just joining us to recap, basically what the Cavs have done. How many total guys do they trade away? Rose, Crowder, Fry, Thomas,
Wade,
all gone,
mm-hmm.
And they've gotten back Rodney Hood, Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance Jr.,
and George Hill.
And they get a conditional bad second round pick in the Wade deal. It's they all of a sudden they're a brand new team,
mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many practices or how many games it's going to take for LeBron to get everybody where he wants them to be and understanding when to look for the ball, because it's an adjustment learning to play with him and knowing exactly expecting certain passes you wouldn't otherwise expect, and
you still got to get Kevin Love reacclimated to the situation when the playoffs roll around too. I mean, you're top eight.
You think he'd be gone if he were healthy?
No, because they have to figure something out after LeBron. They have to. Your top eight is important. Those three guys off the bench, that you're really not going to see more than eight people in a rotation when the playoffs roll around. You're going to see a lead guard, you're going to see a wing player, and you're going to see a big. And now their top eight has been had a wrecking ball taken to it today.
Yeah, good question here, though, from regarding that, Jay. Mm-hmm. This is when Amir says, can you think of any previous team that remodeled their roster midseason to this extent, trading six rotation players and won an NBA championship? Conventional wisdom is you fire the coach because you can't fire all the players. The Cavs are firing all the players.
Yeah. I cannot think of a team that won an NBA championship. Usually by this point in the season, it's adding one piece or, you know, right. adding the thing that you think will put you over the top. Not a wholesale rotation change. Not a champion. Not a champion.
Is no. that, I mean.
No, because this isn't the off season. This is, there are games going on and the next 2 weeks is going to be the Cavs practicing with their new players while teams are playing live games against them. That's what this would be. Hell, if this was the training camp and preseason for Isaiah Thomas this entire time, what do you think it's going to be for Rodney Hood and Larry Nance Jr.? I mean, think about the step up in pressure that Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance Jr. walk into now. They were trying to figure things out in Los Angeles while Lonzo made it his team, right. while Magic Johnson and Jeannie Buss were trying to figure out how to lure Paul George, how to lure LeBron James, whoever the new free agents were going to be. Now, all of a sudden, those guys have been thrown in the mix where the Eastern Conference has a target on their back every single night. The Toronto Raptors and the Boston Celtics believe it is real. And if John Wall hadn't gotten hurt, the Washington Wizards would be right in there as well, thinking that they can take Cleveland to a game seven. Hopefully you'll have it on your floor. This is going to be very, very interesting. This is Tyronn Lue. You know, what are you as a coach, LeBron James? What are you as a teammate trying to make all these pieces work? Now they put shooters around him and a rim protector, which they needed because Larry Nance Jr. is a guy who's a terrific weak side shot blocker and a guy who can defend small fours.
Can he hold his own against fours and fives? No, physically?
Larry's a strong dude.
I know he's long and quick. I wonder if in some of these playoff series where they let guys bang around, mm-hmm. if he's going to be able to withstand some of the physicality. I mean, like what Timofey Mozgov did for him was,
right,
you know.
Right, just be there.
Be big.
Be big, yeah. And Larry Nance plays bigger than his height because of his ridiculously long arms as well.
Chris Mannix says, look for floundering teams to be very open to buyouts over the next few weeks. As one exec told him, quote, buyouts are the new form of tanking. So, among other reports here, Memphis has kept guard Tyreke Evans.
Yeah, that's why New Orleans is trying to get below the luxury tax so they can do a couple of buyouts as well.
And the Bulls did not move Tony Allen, the expiring deal there. Also mm-hmm. staying put with Lopez, as we mentioned, and Justin Holiday. Kenneth Fareed didn't move. Marco Bellinelli. Marcus Smart was another name that we had talked about. But deals could still trickle in. But it looks like we have the ones that we have. So then the buyouts come, right? Is there a limit on the number or structure of buyouts now that the Bulls have the agreement to buy out Wade? Does that change what they can do with other contracts? Or is it just about how you are relative to the salary floor?
Not sure.
It's LeBron's day, though, right?
Well, I think more of just because the reflex is
a lowly saying
that LeBron is the one pulling the strings here. I think this is Dan Gilbert and Kobe Altman getting together and saying, what will we have after this year when this guy leaves? They were never going to trade that pick. They'd be stupid to trade that pick. The Clippers were asking for that pick, and that is why DeAndre Jordan is not a Cleveland Cavalier.
The Brooklyn pick, yeah.
Yeah, they'd be ridiculously dumb to put that pick in any package. Because that's going to be a top four pick because of how bad the Nets are.
All right, so, but as a Bulls fan, the question is, regardless of what LeBron did to change his proximity to the championship, and that's completely debatable. My guess too is that LeBron's perfectly happy about the Lakers clearing enough salary cap room to put them in play for him. If this makes it more likely that LeBron leaves, is that a win for the Bulls? Are they in a better development and championship environment with LeBron in the West?
I mean, it makes it better, but they're still behind a bunch of Eastern Conference teams, though.
But you'd rather have him over there, right?
I mean, he's coming to the end of his career. You know, what he's got probably three more years where he's playing like something close to this, and I don't think LeBron's going to be the guy hanging on chasing rings at the end.
No.
So
probably a wash. But
you're still going to be behind Boston as presently constituted. Whatever happens with Giannis in Milwaukee, Washington, you know, there's still some teams that have been doing this
and Miami is always going to be better than you think they are because they just are. I was surprised
Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra.
I was surprised to see the name Kemba Walker come up in some possible deals.
They've been wanting to trade him since that was like one of the market setters where that Kemba Walker, understandably, is not happy with how Charlotte has done business. And there was that, you know, that ridiculous pie in the sky, you know, Kristaps for Kemba talk that was happening in New York for a little bit. But Kemba Walker is, you know, he's actually what Isaiah Thomas, if Isaiah Thomas was in that Brad Stevens system, he would be that every year. Kemba Walker's a bona fide scorer and a bigger player than Isaiah Thomas.
I think Walker is the kind of player that gets to a real team, and then people all will have to realize that he has been a much better player than they thought he was, or people who hadn't been paying attention to him because they didn't have to would see him elsewhere, see him in playoff games and say, man, I didn't know how good this guy was. The segment brought to you by Indeed. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates in an online dashboard. Get started at Indeed.com/hire. I guess I would say I'm a little disappointed that the Bulls weren't able to move what I thought were some of their more valuable NBA assets. I thought that Robin Lopez would find somewhere else to go today, but if not for a first-round pick, I guess you hang on.
Yeah, and I think they believe that what's been learned over the last couple of years professionally has to be scrubbed from some of these players, you know, mainframe. There's a lot of foolishness that's happened on that team and with that franchise that Robin Lopez is a pro's pro. And if you're going to get some, you know, lowly second round pick for him, you might as well ride it out these last 29 games, 30 games, whatever it is left on the schedule. They're going to lose their fair share. They're going to lose games. I mean, the Bulls are not a good basketball team right now. And you got a bunch of guys trying to figure out where they play in this situation. Zach LaVine is still trying to get his legs up underneath him, and now you're going to throw Chris Dunn back into the mix. You're going to have a backcourt of two very young players who want their chance to shine. So I think they're going to bump their heads just enough, and right now they are a half game out of the sixth worst record in the NBA. You got the Mavs, the Hawks, the Magic, the Kings, the Suns, the Grizzlies. Then you get into that Brooklyn-Chicago Laker territory. I mean, you got enough. I think you got enough to lose and still feel good about where you're at. You may not get that top three or top four like we thought they would, looking at their roster at the beginning of the season, because we thought the Nets and the Bulls were going to have the two worst rosters coming into this season.
There is no comp for what happened today. The more I think about it, that for an NBA team to move six players that were actually used. It's not just six bums. It's six rotation players. That's effectively half of a roster of a professional team being moved with, what, 30 games left in the season? And trying to prepare you, and you have expectations of trying to win a title, and they still may be able to win a title. I mean, that's like trading 12 baseball players or 25 NFL players.
Right.
I mean, that is unbelievable what they did. We've never seen this before.
If you're a Cleveland Cavaliers fan, I don't know how you feel, because you know that LeBron isn't coming back. You got your championship. You lost Kyrie Irving, you know, so maybe he was going to be the piece that held you down until you figured out how to throw something else with him. But you, like, there's the range of emotions you have to be feeling as a Cavs fan right now is ridiculous. And then the rest of the NBA, you know, because the rest of the NBA is going to be held hostage this offseason while we try to figure out where LeBron is going to go. The Golden State Warriors thing, I think, is a pipe dream. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised because he's got a lot of respect for Brad Stevens. And, you know, Danny Ainge clears out all the ridiculousness. Hell, they were trying to trade Marcus Smart up until the trade deadline. Denver was really looking at a Marcus Smart for Emmanuel Mudiay and another piece trade, trying to figure out how their backcourt works with all the pieces that they have in there with Gary Harris and Jamal Murray and Will Barton and all those guys. I think anything can happen this offseason, whether it be Houston or Boston or Los Angeles. I don't know if Chicago is a viable option for LeBron, because there's way too many young players and I don't think as respected a coach around NBA circles. So, you know, this is gonna happen again. LeBron has shown people that even in the heyday of Jordan didn't have the power that LeBron has within the NBA. And I know people, you know, immediately when they hear the two names, they just lose their minds and don't use any kind of, you know, objectivity or you know, use any kind of common sense. But the power that he has wielded over the last 8 years has been remarkable, absolutely remarkable. He engineered what happened in Miami. He engineered what happened in Cleveland the last 3 years, and he's getting ready to do whatever the hell he wants this offseason as well.
According to Alex Kennedy, who writes NBA for Hoops Hype and USA Today, the Celtics were talking to the Grizzlies about a possible Tyreek Evans deal minutes before the deadline, but it doesn't appear they completed the trade. So we would know by now, probably, if they had usually 20
minutes. Yeah, the next
minutes
20 minutes or so is going right? to, yeah, everything's getting faxed over. I don't know. National Signing Day and trades are still the only places where you hear about things getting faxed over. So I think it'll wrap up here in the next 15, 20 minutes and we'll find out. But I think all the big news probably is broken.
In Uptown, it's Jamal on the score. Hello, Jamal.
Long time no talk to Dan Bernstein, Jason Goff. What a tandem.
Thank you. Let me tell you, man. Appreciate
it, Jamal. They could have picked a better force, man. Seriously.
Thanks, Jamal.
Hey, welcome. What do you guys think about the likes of Rose getting waived and possibly picked up by Thibodeau and that whole Butler, Rose could, you know, and Taj? What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, they better have learned something from the last time they played together. And I think Derek can't be on the same foolishness that he was when we last saw him in a Bulls uniform next to Jimmy Butler. He's got to know that Jimmy has ascended to the heights of NBA stardom.
He's not a superstar yet. That's what he said. That's what Derek said.
He is now. He's a star now, I should say. And he's got to know. What Jimmy did last night, too. I mean, I don't know who would come in there and think that they were going to take the ball out of his hands or you know, show what they could do while Jimmy rests on the side. Jimmy was phenomenal last night. Like, absolutely outstanding last night. He was as efficient mm-hmm. as I've seen in a long time. Allowed Karl Anthony Towns to do his thing, too.
Except, did you see what happened on that one inbound play?
Yeah, he got very angry.
He ran into him, and then Towns went to inbound the ball to Jimmy, and you're like, I don't want it.
Find somebody else to get the ball.
I'm not interested in bringing this up. You figure it out.
Yeah, they got an interesting thing, because I know Tom is you know, drinking gallons full of Alka-Seltzer every single night because they're winning in a way that he doesn't want them to win in.
See, I picture Thibs like an old school, like Bromo Seltzer or Brioski. You know,
Bromo Seltzer?
Yeah, like
did you just make up
did you ever Bromo Seltzer?
A Serbian player?
No.
Bromo Seltzer?
It's Radovan Rakovic.
Right, what are you doing, dude?
No, it's
Bromo Seltzer?
Yeah, like I picture him going super old school.
Jesus, this looks like something you shouldn't mess with, like the labeling and the packaging.
Do they still make it?
I don't think so.
Do they make
it? Says was a brand of antacid, so probably not.
Do they make Brioski?
I don't know.
Brioski?
No, Brioski. Brioschi. It used to be like in. You know, it's always like one of those dad things. Like, just, you know, you had a little sour stomach there.
Yeah.
Get yourself a little Brioski.
Really?
Yeah, sure.
There's cod liver oil for us with everything.
A little Bromo Seltzer. But have some bicarbonate of soda. You know?
Yeah, it was
ice.
Ice. It was cod liver oil. And what was the Mercurochrome mm-hmm. on everything, and Vicks. Yep. If those three things were
that's
in the cabinet, you're good to go. Break
you
your leg, like the Chris Rock. Put some Tussin on it. You break your leg, you mess around, put some Mercurochrome on it, everything will be fine. Like, no, it's not.
Yeah, I don't think
I have a bone protruding from my leg.
Yeah, if Derek goes back to the Timberwolves,
he can't. He can't be on that.
No.
He's got some other issues. He's got some. His lady is getting dragged on these Twitter streets.
She's being weird.
Well, his lady is a very, very fair skinned, biracial, multiracial young lady whose tweets have come into question in the last couple of weeks because people went back and dug up her Twitter history and she says something about, like, I hate black girls and there's, you know, go chase these ugly black girls if you want to. And I guess she was bullied by, dark skinned girls when she was a kid and has yet to let it go. So she tweets a lot of things. And they also found a tweet from a few years back where it was something to the effect of, I love you, King James. Please come and save me. She was a huge fan of LeBron James years ago. And it'd be kind of weird if somebody's like, hey, Derek, did you know that the guy that you're in the same locker room with he's got a pretty big fan and it's your fiance to be or your wife to be and your baby mama to be. That'd be a hard conversation. I heard Joe Budden and the boys actually talking about it today on the podcast, and Joe Budden was like, something strikes me that Derek doesn't do a lot of reading as is, so he probably didn't get those tweets.
Is it possible that Derek just says, screw it?
And retires?
The Adidas money's too much. He can't retire, right?
What do you mean when you say screw it,
though? I mean, yeah. I mean, just walks away from basketball completely.
I think that's what he was on before this last comeback happened. I think there was a lot swirling around in that young man's head, whether it be life, love, and things after basketball, and he's got responsibilities, though. You can't just say, screw it.
But the Adidas deal that we were talking about yesterday, that would end if he just hung him up.
Yes. So. Yes, they would be very happy. I'll never forget talking to Kenny Anderson. I think it's the best interview I've ever been a part of. He sat down for 41 minutes with me. Like, he should have left three segments ago, and we're still like, yo, he's still talking. And he talked about, at the end, you know, how basketball became and how he dealt with alcoholism and all the other things. And he's like, the demons that these dudes deal with that you have no clue about and how those checks are the only reason that they're just showing up to work every day. And I know a lot of people out there who are working 9 to 5 is like, screw these guys. I'd love to show up for millions. But when something that's that sacred to you becomes that dark and becomes a business to you and you start hating it. Like, think about loving what you do. Like, I love what I do. You love what you do. And for whatever reason, it turns and it becomes sad and dark and you hate it. And it's taking a toll on your body. And then you're told, you know what? You can't quit because look at all these people that are eating off of you. You want them to go hungry? Like, all those, the Kenny Anderson, I will never forget sitting there and just letting him talk and looking in his face. And Kenny Anderson was one of my favorite players when I was a kid. And we were doing a remote during the Michigan-Louisville Final Four that was in Atlanta. And he just walked by and said, Kenny,
that was one of the
Kenny, come sit down. And he just, man, he spilled his guts. He said Boston and Portland at the end there. He said he had no idea what was going on. He had no idea where he was living half the time. He just knew that it was collecting a check and getting a drink at the end.
Yeah, I heard a lot of stuff about him because, you know, I spent a lot of time around Brian Oliver when he was with the Rockford Lightning and back and forth from the NBA and going out to Italy. I think he's doing some broadcasting now. We should try to find Brian because he's tremendous. But that was the three. It was Lethal Weapon 3. It was Kenny Anderson, Brian Oliver, and Dennis Scott.
Dennis Scott was a bad boy.
Yeah, think about that. That's a college. That's one college team that was together for a while.
Bobby Cremins was in that tri-state area doing work.
Right?
Doing work.
Yes.
Yeah. Dennis Scott was a bad man, man. Mm-hmm. That you talk about one of the purest jump shots to ever grace a college. Basketball. Yeah,
I told you the Dennis Scott story, right? When they came to Cameron Indoor and he was
on the show.
Warm-ups. Yeah. And the student section was full like an hour and a half before the game, whatever it is. And he came out by himself and they're razzing him, Brad. He's loving it and giving it back to the fans and just knocking down threes. And he hits like 10 consecutive threes and everybody's going crazy. And then the Duke fans are out there going half court shot. And he just looks up and he walks out to half court and he fakes it and he goes, oh.
Yeah.
And he fakes again. Goes, oh. And then he just raises up and pow, and just walks off.
Just that supernatural ability.
And that's right. And that's the opposing fans. That's the Cameron crazies who were going wild for him in their gym.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome.
Yeah. This from the 224. A lot of people hate their jobs. Yeah, that's my point. Think about
exactly. At
some point that the thing that you love the most, probably more than your own family, turning sour on you, and all of a sudden you waking up every day hating to do that thing. You didn't like. The love of sports that you may have.
I got no sympathy for that. Right. I don't like my job neither.
Right. Like, what's going on? I think I did a decent enough job of explaining that's the point.
Right.
That Kenny Anderson said there's a bunch of guys running around the NBA who absolutely hate their lives. But when people around, you can't hate your life when you're rich. You can't.
Allowed to.
Yeah. He's like, every time I was around somebody, he said his best time and his worst time was when he was alone. It was his best time because he didn't have to smile because he was Kenny Anderson. He didn't have to act like everything was all good because
that's
he was
why
Kenny
my
Anderson.
Ernie Banks theory proved true.
Because of Kenny Anderson.
No, I'm saying all the crap I got about I always thought that there's no possible way Ernie Banks could be that happy. There's no possible way anybody could be. It's just not. It's not human for that to be possible. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that after his death, we get the long essay about how completely miserable he was. Yeah. I knew it.
Yeah, that's what Kenny was saying.
I knew it.
A lot of very angry dudes on the end of these NBA benches who are 37, 38 years old. There's some happy ones who are like, man,
they're happier now than they used to be, I think. I think
there's still some problems with mental health. And guys, it's still being a stigma to go talk to a doctor.
I have great Bulls news. According to John Paxson, via the Twitter feed of the Score's Cody Westerlund, Cameron Payne will be in the rotation when he returns to the Bulls.
In the rotation?
In the rotation.
Oh, so you're going to find your top four, top
That's
five pick.
That's what I'm saying. You walked me right there.
There it is.
And Paxson does say that they weren't in a rush to make a deal on Lopez and Holiday. They value their leadership. They had conversations, but it doesn't sound like anything was done. And also a reminder, tomorrow, Jason and I are going to be in the atrium at the United Center, and we're going to sit down. We have an extended, exclusive in-person interview with Fred Hoiberg at 1 o'clock tomorrow to talk about all this stuff.
Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, I'm Rick Ham. The Chicago Wolves own a franchise record 12-game home winning streak. Catch the hottest team on ice as they return to Allstate Arena next Saturday for Bobblehead Night, presented by CW50. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. The NBA trade deadline passed about a half hour ago. The Bulls made a couple deals. They traded Jameer Nelson to the Pistons for Willie Reed, who they immediately waived, and a swap of 2020 second-round picks. They also acquired Noah Vonleh from the Blazers for the rights to 32-year-old Milosan Rakovic. Vonleh's a restricted free agent at the end of the year. John Paxson, speaking now, said the team was not in a rush to deal Robin Lopez or Justin Holiday, and campaign will be in the rotation when he returns. He's currently playing with the Windy City Bulls. Fred Hoiberg said at practice today that Chris Dunn is out of concussion protocol but will not play Friday or Saturday. The Bulls host the Timberwolves tomorrow, pregame on the Score at 8:15. The Cavs made a flurry of deals. They traded Isaiah Thomas, Channing Frye, and a first to the Lakers for Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance Jr., a three-team deal where they got George Hill and Rodney Hood. The Jazz got Jay Crowder and Derrick Rose, who's getting waived. And the Kings get Joe Johnson, Amon Shumpert, and a future second-round pick. The Timberwolves are reportedly interested in reuniting Derrick Rose with Jimmy Butler, Taj Gibson, and Tom Thibodeau. The Magic traded Elfrid Payton to the Suns for a second-round pick. The Cavs also traded Dwayne Wade to the Heat for a protected second-round pick. In a three-team deal, the Nuggets send Emmanuel Mudiay to the Knicks. Doug McDermott makes another stop, this one in Dallas, and Devin Harris goes to Denver. An NFL bombshell, the 49ers signed Jimmy Garoppolo to a five-year, $137.5 million deal, with just shy of 90 of that in the first 3 years. It's the highest contract in NFL history by average annual value. On the ice, the struggling Blackhawks host the Stars. The Hawks are 7 points out of a playoff spot, and the White Sox hired former A's and Cardinals pitching coach Dave Duncan as a pitching consultant. With millions of photos of homes for sale and for rent, historical pricing data, mortgage rates, and calculators, and tools to help home buyers find what they're looking for, Zillow, find your way home. I'm Rick Camp, and you're listening to Chicago's number one ranked sports station and the new radio home for the Chicago Bulls. The next Bulls game on the Score is tomorrow when the Bulls take on the Timberwolves at 8:15. This is 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Well, it looks like the Bulls are in full-blown tank mode here, with John Paxson telling reporters that Payne, Felicio, and Zipser will be in the rotation after the All-Star break. It is clear that they are not going to put their most competitive foot forward. That's my estimation of what's going on, my interpretation of what's being said here. And again, we'll know more from Fred Hoiberg tomorrow, but it does seem that they're very aware that they're better off not playing their veterans.
This from the 815 regarding Kenny Anderson, I'm assuming. Come on, Jason. He was coddled his entire life and career. Then he turned to booze to numb what he thought was pain. That defines
Cameron Payne. You're allowed to drink.
That defines being a mental midget. All right. Whatever you want to believe, my man. if that's what you define a mental midget and thinking that someone is going through pain, I don't. Maybe the 815 has a different life or a different sense of pain for you that you're not going to look at anyone else's and say that sucks.
Entirely devoid of human empathy. Okay,
hey, enjoy yourself, man. I thought it was just awesome that a dude. At that point in his life when a lot of these guys shut down and don't drop those gems on other people and say, hey, it's not the NBA life is not what it's all cracked up to be. You know, guy hung on for a couple of years and hit the bottle as hard as he possibly could while everybody thought he was having a great time living it up in the NBA.
Do you know how many guys I saw on the way down, those paths I crossed who threw it all away with stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
Believe me.
It's nasty.
Yeah.
Like we read about a lot of things and go, oh, okay, but to live through it, to watch it. And a lot of people,
we spent,
I guess,
a half hour talking to Antoine Walker here a couple of months ago.
Yeah. And that was with money.
Yeah.
Like that's losing all your money and still eating well, apparently, but that's losing all your money. Never mind the fact that you're chemically dependent on something at the end of your life while your money is going.
There's also the 815. I don't have to be happy at work, buddy. I have a wonderful life outside of it. Most of these guys are overpaid, P-A-Y-E-D, drama queens with addiction problems.
I bet you watched the Super Bowl, though, didn't you? Like, what are we saying
just
here?
Keep 815-ing.
I've never...
You be you.
I've never understand wishing people...
Ill
because they made money or being... or reveling in the fact that someone went broke. Like... I'm sure they did a ton of cool stuff while they were rich, that things that you probably couldn't fathom. And I'm sure on the way to being broke, there was a lot of happy times. I mean, whatever, dude. This is a job. I wish I had a job that I hate that pays me $12 million a year. I'd retire young and find happiness then. Yeah. All right. Make those plans. Easier, everybody's got a blueprint.
Easier said than done.
Everybody's got a blueprint. You're probably having a tough time managing $85,000 a year. Like, let's not be silly here.
This segment is brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. You have enough things to worry about every day. Insurance shouldn't be one of them. You can leave worry behind when Liberty stands with you. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Speaking of Liberty, Philadelphia, the site of the Liberty Bell was also the site of what we are told may be the single greatest championship parade or championship celebration speech that has ever been given by one player. And first of all, Jason Kelce, as we mentioned, is dressed as a traditional Philadelphia New Year's Day mummer. It's very difficult to explain. He looks like some combination of a matador and an Arabian prince. Back with the style is hype, not slow and low. It's the fast type. Sorry, I couldn't help myself. But
it's your own alley-oop there, wasn't it?
I threw it off the backboard to myself.
Tracy McGrady in the All-Star game
right
there.
I'm sorry, I threw it off the backboard to myself. But ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what to tell you, but he is on the steps of the art museum creating a work of art of his own. Ladies and gentlemen, Eagles center Jason Kelce.
I'm going to take a second to talk to you about underdogs. I know Lane and Chris just talked about this, but I don't think that it's been beat home enough. Howie Roseman, a few years ago, was relinquished of all control pretty much in this organization. He was put in the side. He was put in the side of the building where I didn't see him for over a year. 2 years ago, when they made a decision, He came out of there a different man. He came out of there with a purpose and a drive to make this possible. And I saw a different Howie Roseman, an underdog, Doug Peterson. When Doug Peterson was hired, he was rated as the worst coaching hire by a lot of freaking analysts out there in the media. This past offseason, some clown named Mike Lombardi told him that he was the least qualified head coach in the NFL. You saw a driven Doug Peterson, a man who went for it on fourth and down. Went for it on fourth and down in the Super Bowl with a trick play. He wasn't playing just to go mediocre. He's playing for a Super Bowl. And it don't stop with him. It does not stop with him. Jason Peters was told he was too old. Didn't have it anymore. Before he got hurt, he was the best freaking tackle in the NFL. Stephen Wisniewski ain't good enough. Jason Kelsey's too small. Lane Johnson can't lay off the juice. Brandon Brooks has anxiety. Carson Wentz didn't go to a Division I school. Nick Foles don't got it. Corey Clement's too slow. The airplane ain't got it anymore. Jay and John can't stay healthy. Torrey Smith can't catch.
Well,
Nelson Aguilar can't catch. Zach Ertz can't block. Brett Celek's too old. Brandon Graham was drafted too high.
He just ragged me on his teammates.
Ain't got it. Bo Allen can't fit the scheme. Michael Thomas can't fit the scheme. Nigel Bradham can't catch. Jalen Mills can't cover.
What?
Patrick Robinson can't cover.
What?
It's the whole team. With a bunch of driven men to accomplish something. We were a bunch of underdogs. And you know what underdogs is? It's a hungry dog. And Jeff Statlin has had this in our building for 5 years. It's a quote in the O-line room that has stood on the wall for the last 5 years. Hungry dogs run faster. And that's this team. We wanted it more. All the players, all the coaches, the front office, Jeffrey Lurie, everybody wanted it more. And that's why we're up here today, and that's why we're the first team in Eagles history to hold that freaking trophy. And you know who the biggest underdog is? It's y'all, Philadelphia. For 52 years, y'all have been waiting for this. You want to talk about underdog? You want to talk about a hungry dog? For 52 years, you've been starved in this championship.
You know what's up. You know what's
Everybody
up.
Wonders why we're so mean. Everybody wonders why the Philadelphia Eagles aren't the nicest fans. If I don't eat breakfast, I'm pissed off.
My man.
No one liked this team. No analyst liked this team to win the Super Bowl, and nobody likes our fans. And you know what? I've just heard one of the best chants this past day, and it's one of my favorite, and it's new, and I hope y'all learn it, because I'm about to drop it right now. You know what I got to say to all those people that doubted us, to all those people that counted us out, and to everybody who said that we couldn't get it done? What my man Jay Ajayi just said.
Wow. Yeah, that's what you thought it was. That was the big old FU.
Jeez.
That's
dude, he just went on like a 2 minute like rant. I'm talking about the part where he's just ragging on his teammates.
Right.
This guy's stupid.
This guy's Foles has bed breath.
Right, right.
This guy's an alcoholic. Right.
This guy's wife is ugly as hell.
This guy snores.
Right.
this guy gets mid-grade cocaine and brings it to team barbecues, and then I kick him out of my house for chopping up lines on the bathroom floor.
This guy for kids are on the plane. Right.
This guy cheats at golf.
Right, like, hey, Jason, right. No one said that about that guy. No one knew that about that guy. This guy's terrible. This guy
They've got their Nolan Rocky scouting reports right, out. Right. I don't see that anywhere.
This guy owes me $4,700. This guy crashed his vintage Mustang into a pole last night because he was stone drunk. Like, damn, Jason. How long into it does that part come? The strengths and weaknesses of the squad.
About a minute.
Can we get to that
strengths.
Part?
Can high point the ball in traffic? Is able to separate from press coverage. Weaknesses.
This guy's not a student of the game.
Doesn't run the full route tree.
This guy doesn't even like black people. Like,
football may not be important to him.
This guy's just in it for the checks. Like, can I get that part again? Give me,
in summary, a late draftable pick.
My God.
He's doing Who's Your Guy on his own teammates.
Yeah, he was. Like, he's just pointing. Like, he's, are you just looking at Jay Ajayi and saying that, Brick? I hate Lamp. He was just going. He's turning. He turned around. I don't have the video in front of me, but it sounds like he just turned around and just started looking at guys and saying, "This guy sucks. This guy can't count to 10. This guy blows every assignment. This
and more than that." I pictured him finishing the speech and then jumping directly to his left through a glass coffee table.
My God. Oh, this is awesome. 815, take a bow. Man, Jeff Garland was hyped up. That's right. It's more entertaining, too. And he'll get one less try at it during the damn seventh inning stretch. I can't wait for baseball season to roll around so we can get 6 Jeff Garland appearances in the booth again. And I always love that. He has quickly shot up the rankings.
The Belushi rankings?
Of the guys that I do not want to hear in that booth. You know, and
well, Len Casper.
No, Lenny's JD. Only like fourth or fifth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. But my God, the guy just turned her. That was awesome.
And he's dressed as like a 17th right. century mime.
He's screaming,
matador.
Take us seriously while he's
Jason Peters was told he was too old. Didn't have it anymore.
Yeah.
Before he got hurt, he was the best freaking tackle in the NFL. Stephen Wisniewski ain't good enough. Jason Kelsey's too small. Lane Johnson can't lay off the juice. Brandon Brooks has it done. Jason West didn't go to a Division I school. Nick Foles don't got it. Mark Clement's too slow. McGarrett ain't got it anymore. Jay and John can't stay healthy. Torrey Smith can't catch.
Yeah.
Can't catch. Zach Ertz can't block. Brent Celek's too old. Brandon Graham was drafted too high. Vinny Curry ain't got it.
They jump in with the what?
Noel can't fit the scheme. Michael Thomas can't fit the scheme.
What?
Nigel Bradham can't catch.
What?
Jalen Mills can't cover.
Jalen's like, what the hell?
It's the whole team.
Quit yelling.
Gordon Blanchard sodomizes farm animals.
Dude, did he say Lane Johnson can't lay off the juice?
Yes.
I know he got a PED suspension,
right.
Didn't he?
Like, yes, that's why he's...
The precious juice.
Jesus.
Juice. The precious juice.
This is the 630. Stop eating glass, Steve. Like, dude, is Jason Kelsey a free agent? I need him.